A Study in Azure, written and read by Fresney. Fandom Sherlock, BBC, pairing Sherlock Holmes, John Watson, Warnings for a Megaverse. Chapter 1. John. The Unexpected Heat Job. On a scale of 1 to excruciating, with 1 being helping a young Omega give birth to a perfect baby girl, and excruciating being shot in the shoulder, he had to think carefully as to where this day fell. At the moment, it fell just below when he was 13. His parents, as part of their 12-step program, had sat him and Harry down and apologized. That had felt like an eternity. This weekend felt like an eternity. It was only Saturday. He'd arrived that afternoon. John saw it at a meal that could have fed a family of 5 for a month in Nigeria, and blamed babies. No, he blamed himself for thinking about being on the downside of 30. He'd been thinking it was time to settle down. He was thinking about his biological clock. It didn't help that there was Harry, fresh off her own 12-step apology, talking about children with Clara. It didn't help that he'd been shot, his surgical career had ended. The MSF would have been great about it, but they couldn't afford to send doctors out who recklessly endangered themselves and their fellow personnel. The entry wound had been fine. The exit had been less than ideal. Even his writing had dried up since the injury. He wasn't actually a romantic. He was practical. He was realistic. He just liked to write romances. It was something to do while waiting in airports. He felt like such a stereotypical Omega writing Mills and Boone. You could always tell when an Alpha wrote one. They were the ones who didn't list their gender on the back bio. And that was off topic. He decided it was time to settle for reality. It was time to settle down with a good, stable Alpha and stop running after adventures. Adventure didn't want him anymore. Edelbert Gruner was an Alpha. He had his own engineering firm. They had some sort of connection to MI6 doing missile research. It was very hush-hush. He was a Baron. He headed an Omega Historical Trust. They funded it selling works of modern art that had been donated. His company had sponsored the production of a mystery play. He was a friend of someone John had never heard of in the art world. He was helping the Tate organize their documentation. He could talk for hours about anything. He had been talking for hours about everything. John stabbed at architect's fish and chips, which Edelbert had personally designed. John had seen that episode of Posh Nosh. Edelbert was all mouth and no trousers. He wished he'd realized in London that Edelbert talked complete and utter shite. He wished he hadn't accepted his invitation to stay in his house in the country for the weekend. He smiled and nodded while Edelbert explained the history of the house. It was a fake castle built by a Victorian pottery mill owner that put the word overwrought in Gothic manner. The carvings had carvings on them. He accepted another glass of wine poured by Percy, the house major Omega something or other. He smiled at him to let him know that John appreciated the wait service. He got a thin look in response, and didn't that but half make him feel off. He listened to Edelbert talk about his Chinese pottery collection. Before he'd seen them, they'd seemed interesting. Now they looked like plates. They also looked like pots and bowls. This evening was advancing past 12-step apologies. It didn't help that there'd been something a bit off in the meal. He felt off. It wasn't exactly a queasy feeling. Maybe it was just tension over getting to tell Edelbert that he just wasn't that into him. He should have arranged a hookup in London, where it was easy to get a cab. Still, not feeling well was as good an excuse as any. He surreptitiously dipped the end of his napkin in his water glass and held it against his carotid. "Too warm?" Adelbert leaned forward and patted his hand again. That shouldn't have bothered John. It wasn't forward. He had come here intending to get off with Adelbert. They'd gone on 3 dates. They'd been taking the next step in the relationship. It bothered John. John smiled brightly. Maybe a little. Just nervous, I suppose. He froze his smile. He hadn't intended on sounding like he was still planning on getting off with Adelbert. Maybe we should take a walk after dinner. He glanced at Jock, one of the beta guards that Adelbert had insisted were necessary to protect the art in the house. Maybe alone. This would be far less embarrassing if they lost the audience. What a splendid idea. Adelbert brushed his hand just under John's jaw. His fingers lingered a moment longer than John liked. He found himself leaning against Adelbert's touch. He pulled away under the guise of fumbling with his napkin. He slipped a fork in his pocket. Adelbert offered him his arm. John took it and snuggled against him. Adelbert's scent was so very, very alpha. He felt as cold now as he'd felt warm before. He moved closer to Adelbert. He couldn't quite think he'd felt it necessary to put a fork in his pocket. If he hadn't had a lifetime of tracking his heats religiously, he'd have thought he was going into heat. But it had been a requirement for working with the MSF. That was now over. But no reason to stop. He even still wore the MSF-issued heat cycle monitor. It came with a fancy display and color-changing stones for the technically challenged. John was technically challenged. Another thing that made him feel like a stereotypical Omega. It was why all the Omegas in his stories were proper computer geniuses or whatnot. He glanced down at his monitor. The stones on the band should have been solid blue. They were a swirling, muddy green. He twisted his arm in Adelbert's. He tapped it, even though he knew it didn't work like that. Something wrong? Adelbert squeezed his arm. His teeth looked strangely sharp. John had a sudden impulse to run his thumb across them. He stuffed his other hand in his pocket. He held onto his fork. Jock and Percy were following a respectful several paces behind. They were being followed. The tines of the fork were sticky. He pressed the tines against his palm. No, nothing. John wanted to sit down. He concentrated on his footsteps. He felt strange. He felt off balance. He glanced at himself in a gold-shot mirror and smiled. There was no distortion. He stuck out his tongue. It wasn't crooked. He said, "You have a lovely home." The words certainly sounded clear. Adelbert certainly thought so. Therefore, John wasn't having a stroke. He was experiencing some mild epigastric abdominal discomfort, which could be a heart attack, but years in the field had him thinking that wasn't it. Heart attacks weren't normally accompanied by a mild erection, but it couldn't be his heat. He'd just had his heat a week ago. He'd been very careful not to schedule the weekend over his heat. "Don't you agree?" Adelbert patted John's shoulder. John agreed and attempted to focus on what Adelbert was saying. It didn't help that Adelbert was talking about how this or that painting was by this or that artist. He had a lot of art on his walls by a lot of artists. It didn't seem to be any pattern other than art. He went on and on about the provenance for each piece. Near as John could tell, provenance was the paperwork that proved art was art. It was a bit like listening to the old Vic when he was a teen drone on about the Bagats. They went into a stuffy library full of spined books. There among the leather-bound gilt books was a tiny row of brightly colored Mills and Boone. He barely had to glance to see the name. None of this was making any sense. If Adelbert knew that John was also a writer, why hadn't it come up? John only hadn't mentioned it because he found it a bit embarrassing. Adelbert pointed out his prize Van Gogh. That one came up from a very private auction. It's a lost work. So its provenance isn't as good as I'd like, but a theft in a painting's history can improve its value. His sharp teeth glinted. He brushed his hand along the frame. John wondered if he was seeing what he thought he was seeing in the haystacks. And now for the piece de resistance. Adelbert beckoned his fingers up. John suppressed the training for months in Kampong Cham, Cambodia, that had him thinking Adelbert was beckoning to the dog. Adelbert swung the painting out. The wall safe was pretty expected. Adelbert didn't even hide the combination. 01-01-01. Oi, oi, oi. He punched the numbers. John pulled at the collar of his shirt. It felt tight. Adelbert pulled out a thick leather journal. He sat on the long leather couch. John sank down happily next to him. He pressed down hard on the seat. It felt good. It felt really good. It eased some of the discomfort. He did it again. His skin buzzed with nervous energy. His bones ached. Maybe he was coming down with flu. Adelbert opened the journal. What the flying buggery fuck? That was what John should have said. But years of don't react, don't be too loud, years of don't, had him smiling his confusion. The heavy pages were full of photos of Omegas clearly in the throes of heat. Each photo was accompanied by paragraphs of description. There were pages of names. John, you seem confused. Adelbert smiled an oily, neo-laconic school, alpha-privileged smile. His teeth seemed even sharper now. You didn't think I invited you here to look at my Chinese pottery collection, did you? Why are you showing me this? He looked down again. What is this? Oh, John, I thought you were more intelligent than that. Adelbert picked up a black fountain pen from a black and gold marble end table. Adelbert turned a new page. He uncapped the pen with a flourish. He wrote John Watson at the top of the creamy white page, which was just ridiculous. I'm months away from my next heat. The stones on his monitor band were now streaked with orange. He tried to turn on the readout. He'd made a hash of it. This thing! He blushed. He felt like such an omega when he couldn't work it. This was his body that wasn't working. John understood the human body. That's impossible. Adelbert tisked. John, you know perfectly well that it is possible. As I recall, a variation featured heavily in your last book. What was the title? The Alphas, Betas, Bonded. I was quite impressed with your descriptions. I even read the more interesting passages allowed to Jock here. Isn't that right? Jock nodded, stone-faced. That's right, Baron Gruner, sir. Very moving they were. Adelbert wrote a few more words. That's why I went to such trouble to meet you at that clinic you've been working at since your unfortunate incident. Such a brave little Omega. He shook his head. Think, John, think. What could possibly have happened to trigger your heat out of cycle? You gave me something. He didn't close his eyes. He wasn't going to take them off of Adelbert. What did you give me? He should have been frightened. That would have been the sensible reaction. He felt calm. He was looking at a mamba in his bunk, calm. He was facing down a 13-year-old pre-presented, pointing an AK-47 in his face, calm. He was trying to save a grandmother's leg after she stepped on an old Russian landmine, calm. Normally, I just tell my lovers that I have Jock serve them a little something extra in the wine. But because you're a doctor. Adelbert wrote something on the page. I'll be more explicit. John looked at the black words on the heavy paper. Gonadotrophin with Runiparol and PS60. It's my own special blend. I find that it takes a little longer to take effect. But it will process through your system more cleanly, leaving no traces. Adelbert snapped his fingers. Percy will see you to your room to refresh yourself, while I get a few things ready. Don't worry. He's an Omega, just like you. He won't take advantage. Percy was holding a taser. John assessed the situation. Percy was about his weight and height. He smiled very blandly. He projected as much small and helpless as he could, and didn't resist. Small and helpless, that's what Dr. John Watson was. He paid attention to the route they took. This was not easy, with every step reminding him that he had a body. There were lots of rooms and stairs. Percy was very loudly quiet next to him. He gripped his taser very tightly. He was sweating. When John reached his room, he circled aimlessly. Percy snapped. "Ain't you gonna tell me how I'm betraying my gender? Most of the ones that's come here offer me all sorts as I'll help them get away. But himself, he's helped me get past that. He's helped me understand how I could run things in plain sight. Give that idiot Grinner his toys. Well, I'm the real power himself deals with, because only Omegas like us can do as we do. Not weaklings like you lot." John looked around the room. Really? He did not look at the massive bed, which had seemed overdone, but charming when he arrived. There had been photos of that bed in Adelbert's journal. He did not look at the hooks on the four posts. He punched Percy in his kidney and twisted Percy's wrist back, forcing the taser free. John used it. Percy twitched on the floor. John stripped the bed. He looked out the window. The sheets weren't long enough to get him to the ground. He used them to tie Percy to the bed. It seemed appropriate. He nodded at the open door. The stones in his monitor had gone all muddy orange by now. Right, right. He gripped his fork. He headed back out the way he'd come and had to duck behind a hideously ugly plastic pink statue of a half-naked woman. It was modern. She had green tentacle arms. It looked Japanese. It was something to think about while he crouched behind her and waited for the beta to leave. He had a fork. He could do something with that. Hide there until he started humping the statues. He crept back. He headed up a small staircase. This was a Victorian idea of a medieval castle. Victorians had servants. Servants needed stairs. Whoever had done the design in the main building had not bothered for the servants. The paint was industrial white. The pipes were exposed. He felt exposed. He felt he needed. He needed to leave. He went out a door. It led out over a balcony over a dark paneled ballroom. A cramp doubled him over as he attempted to walk across to the far door. He tried to focus on the reasons for the cramp. The chemical processes as his body was pushed to produce couplings outside of his natural cycle. Puggery fuck, it hurt! The itch inside of him cranked itself to an ache as the nerve endings increased in sensitivity. At least it shouldn't last as long as a naturally occurring heat. He likely wouldn't release an ovum. Neither of which mattered, because he was leaving. Really, who would have thought that writing romance porn for Mills and Boone in his spare time would lead to this? He went through the door. He froze face to face with a figure in black climbing in a wide window. He had exactly that long frozen moment before he inhaled the heady rush of the alpha's scent. He smelled like the rich, deep heart of a forest, where everything was alive and clicking and fighting and fucking. It was the perfect scent. He was beautiful under the night goggles flipped over his dark black hair. John's fingers itched to touch it. He wanted to see if all his skin was really that pale. John breathed out. It was his biology talking. This was not an OTPB that he should have anything to do with. One true pair bonding was just biology at work. The animal brain interpreting pheromones to indicate a particularly good genetic match to fuck. Yeah. Fucking. Of course, he was a thief stealing from a very bad alpha. He was a very attractive thief. The alpha dropped lightly off the windowsill, John's eyes following the rapid rise and fall of his chest. John wanted to memorize that rhythm. He took a step back. Hello. I've been dosed with gonadotropin, rhodopiol, and PS60, which, fast version, I'm going into heat. This isn't... He licked his lips and winced at the beautiful taste of the air. Since I'm guessing you're, a thief? Ha! Guess. Never guess. Look at the facts and come to a conclusion. The Alpha stared at him. His gaze pinned John in place. He wanted to be pinned. Look at you. Look at the facts of you. His fingers ticked off some hidden shape. Somalia or Afghanistan? Afghanistan? He shook his head. But how could you know that? That's... He blinked. Amazing! He felt a sense of euphoria. He'd found what he was looking for. He reminded himself this was just all preheat mood swings. Odd. That's not what people normally say. The Alpha took a small step closer. John's thighs clenched around a damp, empty nothing. Even he could smell the couplins in his scent deepening. He glanced at his watch. Threads of red were streaked through the first stone. Yeah, what do they say? He took a step closer. Fuck off. Freak. God, the way his lips moved was amazing. The way they lingered over the F in freak. John squeezed his eyes shut. He should leave. He should get out. He should climb down the Alpha's rope that was right there. Don't suppose you could make a trip to the library, long as you're stealing things. There's something that... I'd like to get out from the safe. Dull. I don't suppose. The Alpha did something that John couldn't see to the door on the other side of the hallway. There was a sharp click. The Alpha dove through the door. John was standing there holding his fork. The man's head poked back out. Coming? There's something I need in the library. Under the circumstances, there was only one answer. Oh, God, yes! Then the other meanings to those statements flashed their big buggery fucking sign at him. He followed the Alpha anyway. He kept his fork at the ready. It was the only weapon he had. The Alpha was absurdly tall. He was also absurdly fast. He walked like the metaphor of something that was extremely hard to follow. It was good. Distance was good. Running was good. It kept him from staring at the Alpha's tight arse. John was so intent on not staring at his arse that he almost ran into him when the Alpha stopped near the bottom of a spiral ironwork staircase. The Alpha held up five fingers. He counted down to a fist. Two beta guards walked into the landing below. The Alpha swung himself over the banister. In a series of lightning moves, one of them was down. John did what he could. He did have a pretty good idea of what nerve clusters to hit, after all. Even a fork could do some damage. People too often base their ideas on reactions to injury on the cinema. John pulled his fork out. That was... He checked the guard's vitals. He grinned up at the Alpha. Incredible. From where he was crouching, his head was at the perfect angle to stare at the Alpha's groin. In his very tight trousers, with his very large, hard cock tucked to the left, he looked up. The Alpha's pupils were dilated. The floor was hard under John's knees. He groaned deep in his empty throat. He ached with how empty he was. The Alpha crossed his arms. It was simply a matter of observation. The first guard had a spinal misalignment in his L1 vertebrae that pulled him out of balance. The second guard was out late last night with his beta friends drinking scotch. That was very good, how you... His gloved hand brushed through John's hair. John leaned into the touch that pulled him forward. His lips were centimeters from what he needed. It was... The Alpha's hand slid down the side of his face. Absurdly simple. John lipped at the Alpha's cock through the thin fabric. He wanted to pull it out. He wanted. John fell back. He looked at his monitor. All the stones were shot with red. He was pretty much screwed. He leaned back on his hands. His thighs were spread open. He licked his lips. He stared up at the Alpha breathing over him. He wanted, but he couldn't ask for it. He shouldn't. You. The Alpha's chest rose and fell. He hit his own thigh. Three rapid, vicious movements. Mycroft will never let me hear the end of this. I am currently picturing him in heat to get through this. I blame you. The Alpha spun around and ran from the room. Fortunately, John knew the way by now. When he reached the library, the Alpha had pulled the Van Gogh from the wall. It was hard to think around him, but still through the haze, John really wanted the Alpha to be happy. He wanted the Alpha to like him. He needed to warn him. That's a fake. John felt his skin itch at his sharp look. It shifted uncomfortably as another cramp played string section in his gut.
Edelbert knows it's a fake? It wasn't precisely a question.
Edelbert thinks he outbid thieves to own a lost version of Starry Haystacks. John pressed the tines of his fork into his thigh. The hidden letters spell out, "This is a fake." He shrugged. His shirt rubbed over his skin. The cotton felt harsh, knowing that the release of hormones during heat caused sensitized skin didn't make him not want to rip off his shirt. He swallowed. It was, absurdly simple.
Father always did enjoy leaving her little notes on the canvas. The Alpha brushed his hand over the top of the frame. It was the same gesture as Adelbert's. It was nothing alike. People like to observe provenance over what they can see with their own eyes. The Alpha rolled up the canvas and slid it into a tube. John sighed. Yeah, it's easy to fall in love with a diagnosis. The Alpha stopped what he was doing and stared at John. He did not need to breathe in the deep, earthy Alpha musk. He inhaled. He licked his lips. The Alpha shook his head. Not my area. Maybe we could just... He pressed against John. He nuzzled John's neck. Just a little taste. He pressed John up against the wall. This suddenly seemed like a wonderful idea. John buried his face in the Alpha's chest, his soft hair brushing John's face. The Alpha bit his neck. Mine. You're for me. John squirmed against him. He needed more skin. He was hungry for skin. The Alpha rutted against him. He could feel the Alpha's cock. It was hard and hot, trapped inside his clothes. It was rubbing against his own aching cock. John turned his face up. Maybe if you fuck me just a little, just to clear our heads. This was a brilliant idea. John should have thought of this sooner. A few quick strokes, and we could finish each other off with hands after you, a couple quick inside me. And maybe we wouldn't. The Alpha inhaled sharply and pushed himself away from John. The Alpha's hand was shaking as he put a small device against the safe. It would not be a few quick strokes. A light flashed and he did something. The safe swung open. He glared at the room. We need to, so I can... He wrapped his hands against his head. John remembered he knew the combination and was oddly disappointed he couldn't have helped the Alpha. The floor creaked. John... You shouldn't be out of bed like that. Why don't you rest your legs? Adelbert smiled at John gently over the muzzle of an old Mark III Adams revolver. John sat and stared. He'd lost his fork. He looked blindly around the floor. As for you, get away from my Omega. Adelbert's horribly smug voice ground on. Our mutual friend thought you'd be visiting me. Although you do come at an inconvenient time, my Omega is waiting for me to breed him. The Alpha's lips pulled back, but... Business before pleasure, I suppose. Back away from him. John could feel the loss as the Alpha walked backwards toward the farthest wall. Adelbert followed. His scent was sick and cloying next to the Alpha. He was all wrong. He had no suit-clad goons this time. He had a revolver. John wished he had a revolver. Edelbert looked briefly at the open safe. "I do hope you haven't disturbed my things." He gestured with a gun. "I don't like it when people touch my things."
"Not your things." The sound of the Alpha's voice was like a touch down John's spine.
He had the brief, excited thought they could fight for him. His Alpha could kill for him. That was hormones. It was instincts. He made himself focus. The Alpha stepped farther back and farther away. Edelbert kept following him, as if John wasn't sitting right there.
The Alpha looked over Edelbert's shoulder at John. Their eyes met.
John didn't even really think about it. He picked up a statue of a dyspeptic-looking owl.
He swung it at Edelbert's head. Edelbert crumpled to the floor.
John dropped the owl. It thudded once and twice on the thin Turkish rug to roll to the Alpha's feet. They stared at each other. John's heart was beating fast. He took a step forward. The Alpha shook his head. He blinked rapidly. His hand was outstretched.
"Don't touch me. I won't be able to stop again."
The Alpha reached into the safe. He took the journal. It disappeared into a black rucksack. John laughed high in his throat.
"Yeah, right."
He shook his head to try and clear the haze. He rubbed his face.
Yeah.
He bit his lip. He made himself think. He was a human. He was not an animal. He picked up the revolver. He checked the cylinder. There were 6 .450 rounds. "Yeah, let's go." Every step made him acutely aware of being in a body, of the liquid soaking through his pants and dripping down his thighs. The Alpha was panting. It was the rhythm of John's breath. They made it back to the window on the servants' level. The Alpha clipped something to the harness around his chest. He glanced at John. It was a quick, sharp look. His eyes were pale in the fluorescent light. All of him was pale.
"Can you climb down?"
John's high laugh as he shook his head was his answer. He was shaking. His pants were soaked.
"You'll have to hold on to me as we go down."
John did not look at his monitor. He didn't fucking need stones to tell him something that had been happening every few months since he was 13.
"Yeah."
He bit the inside of his lip. "I'll hold on behind you. Should be safer." He climbed out the window after the Alpha and tentatively reached up. He wrapped his arms around the Alpha's neck. No time to think. They went over the ledge side. Rope whined through a pulley. John held on. He breathed in. The Alpha smelled amazing. He was amazing. He had what John wanted. He was what John wanted. John needed to focus. The Alpha wasn't moving. They were just hanging while the Alpha nuzzled John's arms. The muscles in John's left arm trembled. He wouldn't be able to hold on for much longer. That was good. It helped him focus against the pulsing waves of want. John pinched the Alpha. "Talk. It will help us focus. How did you know I was in Afghanistan?" The Alpha nodded.
"You're correct. Brainwork. Brainwork is good. You didn't say fuck heat, the street name. You said gonadotropin."
The Alpha's voice rumbled through his chest and into John. They were going down again. It was a very slow descent on the thread of his voice and the faint sound of the rope. A knowledge of chemistry, then. An MSF monitor, typically worn by Omega personnel who work in the field, but an older model, the V2.1. John pressed a small kiss to the Alpha's neck. It was just a little kiss. It was just a little taste to match his voice, exposing John. He'd never been seen like that before. He'd never had everything stripped away and been known. The Alpha had stopped moving.
"Go on."
John panted. He realized that his legs were wrapped around the Alpha. He was grinding his trapped cock against the Alpha's back. He dropped his legs. He felt the strain on his bad shoulder. He could hold on. "You have the faint smell of beeswax lotion, a brand typically used by MSF doctors. You have a heavy tan, but it doesn't extend beyond your shirt sleeves, so not a pleasure trip. You were shot in the shoulder 6 months ago from the way you were holding your shoulder. Where have doctors with MSF recently been sent and subsequently withdrawn due to increasing levels of violence? Afghanistan and Somalia." The Alpha twisted slightly. John felt a ledge beneath his feet. He
He let go, pushing back into the slight widening in the stonework. A carved figure stared at them from a niche in the tower. John hoped it enjoyed the show. The Alpha stared down at John in the shadow of the building. His was an intense predator's gaze that had John shivering pleasurably at being the prey. He wanted to be caught. The Alpha's large shape loomed over him, a warm, welcome body that pressed him back against the wall. They kissed hungrily with lips and teeth and tongues. It wasn't enough. Some part of himself understood that this was a bad idea, but most of him, the part that shoved his tongue into the Alpha's mouth, needed more. The rough rope of the Alpha's harness rubbed at John's shirt as they frantically kissed. They needed to be closer. They needed to be wearing fewer clothes. Even in his current state, he grasped that stripping on a ledge 3 stories up would be mental. His world narrowed to his own harsh breathing that sucked in the Alpha's scent. He tilted his neck to give the Alpha better access for a series of sharp nips down his skin. "This is dangerous."
John responded by reaching down one-handed to undo the Alpha's belt and flies. He reached through a maze of clothes. There were too many clothes. He pulled the Alpha's long, thick Alpha cock out. He was fully erect and hard in his palm. The itch inside himself intensified. To be this close to what he needed, he stroked lightly. Dangerous. Oh, God, yes. John lightly worked the retracted foreskin back and forth below the glands. He whispered dangerous into the Alpha's mouth. He ground his pelvis against the Alpha. His own cock was still trapped in his trousers. His left hand was holding on to something. It was something important. He held on to it. But the other raked up under the Alpha's shirt, hard enough to scratch. The Alpha hissed. He pulled away. This was wrong. Something made a short, sharp snick. The Alpha sawed at John's trousers with some sort of knife. A very sharp knife. He felt tiny cuts where its edges slid next to him. He could have cared less as the Alpha's other hand reached down over his bare skin to his wet anus. John laughed when the rest of his trousers slid down his legs. He wrapped his arms tightly around the Alpha and kicked them to free his legs. He grinned up at the Alpha. "You're amazing." He wrapped his legs around him, moved so the Alpha's long, thick Alpha cock slid back and forth across his dripping Omega crack. He teased his perineum with the hood of the Alpha's glands, almost pushing the tip inside, then sliding past. He knew it must be angry, red with him. The Alpha growled. He teased himself, with the ridge of the Alpha's already slightly filling knot across the sensitized skin. Some instinct held him off at the last moment, that he had any sort of control. The Alpha's cock was completely slick now. He slid the thick, blunt head across his opening and shifted his angle to slide it past. He laughed as he teased the Alpha. It was such a dangerous thing to do. The Alpha shuddered, the knife embedded into the mortar in the stones above John's head. The Alpha gripped John's hips with both hands and embedded himself inside John in one hard thrust. John keened. He hadn't been stretched at all. He was on fire. His body resisted what he wanted most in the world. He shuddered painfully around the invading cock, stretching him from his anus, across his prostate, through his interior opening, into the ring of nerves around his cervix. Pinned there by the Alpha, he felt it all. The first thrust that always made him want to struggle, until he relaxed into how amazing it felt. He came to himself when he heard the Alpha hoarsely whispering,
You're so hot, so tight, wet. It's too much. I don't... What if I don't... I'm hurting you. I'm too much. I can... But you're so tight. It's so good. But... Oh...
They twisted in the air as the alpha struggled. He was too firmly embedded to pull free without something to push against.
Shh, shh.
John brushed his free hand through the alpha's soft, curling hair and rubbed circles on the alpha's back. You're perfect. Your monster alpha cock is exactly what I needed. He squeezed to emphasize his point. The alpha groaned. Have you... He curved his spine, wriggling on the sweet stretch. Done this before? Heat. Sex. Yes. No. A damp forehead against his shoulder shook back and forth. I deleted it. You're wonderful. John kept up the circling motions of his right hand. I'm stretched now. You've stretched me. Now, I need you to move. He twitched his hips. It'll feel so good. The right kind of too much. The alpha braced himself against the wall. He pulled out slightly. The swelling ridge of his knot rubbed out past John's inner sphincter muscles in a pleasurable pain. The alpha rumbled, clearly enjoying the sensation. He pushed back inside. The tip of his cock teased the empty opening of John's womb. It felt like a wonderful revenge for John's earlier behavior. Fuck. He'd forgotten how good this could be. The alpha pulled out again a little farther this time. He pushed back in a little less tentatively. He did it again. John couldn't help himself. Amazing! The word just kept tumbling in his head as the alpha experimented with rhythm. The alpha grinned at him. When you hit Gruner over the head with the owl. You! He pushed away from the ledge, and for a moment... They were dangling in the air. The motion pulled the alpha almost entirely out of John, who should have been afraid of the drop. But held by the alpha, could only brokenly whisper, "No," only to be rewarded by the slamming force of their return arc, as the hard wall at his back and the hard alpha in him met.
Oh, God. Yes.
They did that again and again until it wasn't fast enough. The arc of physics couldn't be fast enough. The alpha's filling knot pushed painfully, wonderfully, across his prostate and out again, against the clutch of his interior sphincter muscles. John curled himself up as the alpha braced himself on the stonework above and thrust again and again. John's neglected cock came in jerks against the alpha's dark shirt, wet stripes that he couldn't see in the dark. Still, the alpha kept moving in sight of him. Amazing! The alpha cried out. His knot filled in a sudden pop, locking them together. He came inside John, his warm, wet cum finally entering John's womb. The sensation triggered a series of muscle contractions. John's body squeezed and milked the alpha's cock. They taunted gravity with the alpha's knot, holding his cum inside John with the way they hung in the air.
Amazing!
The alpha shuddered.
It's too much. I can't. We're...
He squirmed against John. His movements a little frantic, unable to free himself.
No, it's perfect.
He kissed the alpha fiercely. He wrapped his legs tightly around him.
You're filling me. It's perfect. Time you let me go. Oh, you'll have put 14 to 19 cc's of cum inside me. He peppered the alpha's face with kisses, breeding me. The alpha whispered in a broken voice, "Am I breeding you?" John came against the alpha, more cum that stuck to their shirts. Another series of squeezing muscle contractions that drove the alpha on to another release. More warm liquid pulsed into him. John could take more. His body was greedy for more. It felt so good. He felt relaxed and peaceful and calm and safe. He pulled himself together to answer the question. He shook his head. Induced heats don't tend to, release, egg things. He rocked his hips, enjoying the tug of the alpha's knot, pressing against his prostate. Oh. The alpha sounded disappointed, which was only natural instinct. The alpha nuzzled his neck. He was breathing harshly. You're for me, and I'm for you. God, yes. He rode another wave of muscle contractions. His cock pressed between them came in sympathetic release. The alpha cried out as he came again, a sound that seemed pulled from the very center of him. His teeth bit into John's neck. John stretched his neck to give the alpha better access.
Something in the motion made him look down.
Several suited guards stood in the garden below. One was raising a rifle.
John didn't even consciously realize the thing in his left hand was a revolver.
When he twisted slightly around the alpha's still pulsing, helplessly inside of him, the alpha's knot pulled wonderfully at his entrance in the twist. He fired 3 shots. Bang, bang, bang! The guards dropped. The alpha shuddered. When he could, he looked over his shoulder. You! He looked down at John. That was... He rocked his pelvis, sending John into another jerky orgasm. Good. The alpha reached between them and cupped John. John's cock finally getting the grip of warm, sticky fingers. Very. A cum-slicked hand slid up and down John. Very. The cock inside him shot more warm, wet, wonderful into him. Good. John pulled himself up slightly, using the lever of his arms. They kissed. As they released each other to suck greedy gulps of air, the alpha raggedly whispered, I'm for you, and you're for me. John kept watch over the alpha's shoulder as they shifted and moved against each other. No one came. John giggled as he thought that, and came again. After some timeless period, the alpha's knot let them go. He slid out. Cum trickled out of John. It was a thin stream compared to the ocean, pleasurably soaking him. In that haze, he wished that there was an ovum to soak in that bath. Hormones could be a bitch for rational thinking. The alpha looked around all the open space. Not safe. Every instinct in John agreed. They needed to find a small, dark space where the alpha could safely fuck John and fill him until he was round with it. This wasn't it. Still, he couldn't help sprinkling kisses on the alpha's neck as the rope whined above them and they slowly slid to the earth. John's legs gave way when they touched the ground. He laughed. He checked to make sure there were no other guards. He'd feel guilt later. For now, warm, wet liquid slid down his thighs as he moved.
The Alpha's cock was still hanging out of his clothes. It was already half hard again. The buzz of heat stumbled him away from there. Safety and then fucking was his top priority. He staggered with the Alpha through the gardens. There was a neatly snipped tear in the wire fence. Behind a folly of a fake medieval ruin. The folly was wrong. It was too exposed. They crawled through the tear. The Alpha grumbled over it. But he let go of John's hand. He retook it on the other side. They ran through the woods, the Alpha picking the way. It seemed at random. They ran down a stream bed. They crossed deer trails. They passed piles of rocks. They ran by tall, wide trees with wide trunks. At each spot, the Alpha paused. His eyes flicked over John. They kept running. They slipped through a dense thicket. The Alpha looked at John. He took his mouth with his own. They licked hungrily into each other. This was not the right spot. John reluctantly let go of the Alpha's cock. Too open. The Alpha was off again. He dragged John by the hand. They ran through moonlit woods. Strange shadows menaced them. John gripped his revolver tightly. After far too long and not enough skin touching, the forest gave way to a small meadow. On the far side were the remnants of an old dead oak. Its massive trunk had been split black by a fire, which left a space open in the base. The Alpha whispered, "Lightning." It was lightning. The crackles of it sparking down his body. This was the right place.
John squirmed into the tree. He stood up inside the trunk, which was open to the sky inside. He stripped out of his shirt and shoes. He was wearing shoes. The remnants of trousers and pants hung over one foot. He got rid of all of it. The Alpha surged up inside the tree and pinned him against the ashen black wood. Tiny pricks of splinters dug into him. John ripped at the Alpha's clothes. He ripped at the straps binding him. He got rid of all of it. They slammed each other back against the sooty interior of the tree until they were both streaked with it. This was good. This was very good. This was safe. It was also so very dangerous. He pushed their clothes to the edges of their den. This place smelled of them and fire and forest. They slid down each other. The earth under his knees was surprisingly giving. Some part of him thought about decay rates. He whispered an explanation of biological breakdown when he should have been saying, "Fuck me." Because it was always surprising what he came up with during heat. The Alpha slid down behind him. "Decomposition varies based on temperature. There's a 5-degree variation inside the tree versus the meadow." The blunt tip of the Alpha's cock found John's wet, loosened opening. He was already stretched for him. He'd already been stretched by him. The Alpha pushed slowly, incredibly slowly inside him. "You're watching the meadow." The meadow was just so much grass in the moonlight. "Yeah." The Alpha's arms bracketed both sides of John. His breath gusted down John's spine. "If someone came, you'd shoot them." John's "yeah" in response was long and drawn out. The welcome burn of the Alpha's swelling knot drew the syllables out into a gasp. "You shot them for me." The Alpha was moving faster now. "Us." He pushed back into the next thrust. He wanted. This was a thief fucking him. He was a criminal. John had killed for him. He had killed for them. John was a criminal. It wasn't the first time he'd killed. He tilted his hips into the next thrust, felt that wonderful queasy feeling as his resistance gave way, and the Alpha thrust even deeper from this perfect angle. He rubbed across his prostate, across all of him. He swallowed dryly. "Tell me about myself. That should be safe." He already knew who he was. The Alpha rumbled, and John could feel the sound deep inside him. Not the, normal reaction. Fuck normal. John suited words to action. The Alpha put both hands on John's hips. "You're a, doctor." He pulled John back into his thrust. John felt soft and vulnerable and like killing anyone who tried to stop them. "Something new. You've killed before." The Alpha ran those long fingers along his ribs and arms. It was like he was seeing John with the tips of his fingers. John rocked back against him. "In Afghanistan, you've been to, Cambodia, Kivu, Gaza." He went on. At each place the Alpha thrust into him, it was so good. "You appear to have a pathological need to, help people, possibly related to your, alcoholic parents." That was so not good. He whispered, "But not good." "You're good." The Alpha pushed deep inside him. He was splitting him apart while his voice was splitting him apart. "You have steady hands." He pushed deeper and higher, frictionless, touching his lungs, his stuttering breath, his heart, his pounding beats, and strong morals. The Alpha leaned down over John and bit his shoulder, words dissolving then into frantic motion. John's arms gave way as the Alpha's knot locked them together. He came onto the dark earth below him. They fell onto their sides. The Alpha's hand drifted up and down John's sweat, soot-streaked body. He touched all of him. His fingers took in everything about him. The rumble of his chest against John's back. "You've killed. You're a doctor." "Yeah." John burrowed back against the radiant heat of the Alpha behind him. Something moved in the meadow. John twisted up on his elbow, the motion tugging on the knot. The Alpha gasped, "You!" John pointed his revolver. A doe stared back at him. Its left ear twitched. The Alpha laughed and came again. "You're for me, and I'm for you. No one else. You'd kill them first." He serrated his teeth back and forth above the scar on John's shoulder in a prolonged bite. "I'd kill them, if you'd let me." Which was all right. It was all incredible. It was crazy the things people said during heat. The Alpha stroked John's chest in a complicated pattern. His warm breath whispered the source of John's every scar. He shifted and pulsed inside of him. He knew the bullet wound on John's shoulder that had ended his surgical career. He licked the spot where the bullet had tumbled its wide exit out. John felt completely open and exposed, in the shadowed space with the stars blinking down the bole of the tree. It should have bothered him. After the Alpha's knot gave way, John squirmed around. They lay face to face in the dark. He leaned forward for a long, languid kiss that went on forever. That set off another string of deductions about John's brother. He'd have to explain sister later, and parents and friends and career and everything. He let the words into himself. With two rounds behind him, John felt calm enough to whisper, "My last mandatory was 3 months ago, and I came up clean."
I don't know." That sounded like it offended the Alpha.
"Wait, no. When I used to with needles, but I don't now." He kissed John's face. "I'm clean, and I was clean, and I'm clean for you. Shh, it's okay. John hugged the Alpha hard. You're good. It's all good. It is all good. The Alpha kissed him almost frantically, all of his earlier hesitation well and truly lost. With John almost half asleep and deliriously riding on waves of wanton words, he fell asleep to the words, and a final shuddering thrust. You.
He woke up himself. The heat had gone as fast as it had arrived. He woke up cold. He was covered in dew. He was sticky. He was rank. He was sore. He hurt in places he hardly remembered existed. He was too old for this. He was alone. There was no trace of the Alpha, except for all of the traces he'd left all over John's body.
He sighed. That had been some of the most amazing sex of his life. He thought of various Alpha friends' accusations that John had an addiction to danger. He stretched the hit he'd just gotten. John had dated on 3 continents, but he'd never shared his heat with an OTPB. He'd encountered a few. He'd been all over the world. He wasn't sheltered. But with either language barriers or getting dumped before his heat due to a laundry list of complaints, it had never happened. As it came to it, there had been a few enough shared heats with potential partners worrying about sexual diseases and pregnancies and not wanting to commit too early in a relationship. Half the time, John had been the one putting a halt to things. He'd been trying to be responsible. Clearly, there was a whole wonderful world to be had in irresponsibility. Beyond just heat, all the stories were right about the way the chemical reactions of nodding with an OTPB took what was already an intense experience and turned it to 11. He reminded himself that the Alpha was a thief and a criminal and had abandoned him in the woods. He rolled over and felt something under his hip. It was the journal, sealed up in a plastic bag. Right. He let out his breath. He had evidence. He had proof. It wouldn't just be the word of a broken-down doctor and an overprivileged brat like Adelbert. As going-away gifts, this was good. Right. He gathered up the remnants of his clothes. His trousers were a dead loss. He fingered the cut marks. He sighed. He had shoes. He tied his shirt around his waist and set off in a direction. He was lucky. He found a cow path. He found a cow. He found a farm. He didn't want to throw away the revolver. It was an antique. Of course, Adelbert would have an antique revolver. He checked the cylinder. It was half full of rounds. He paused. No, he still didn't feel guilty about the previous night. He felt better than fine. Still, he'd been an idiot to hold on to it. He threw it into a skip before going into the police station. Wasn't that a bit of fun? He had to make some sort of modification to what just had happened. He threw in a great many, "I just don't know how I got out," and "I think I had sex with a random camper. Not his fault, though." He forced a rueful smile. "Yes, I'll take a rape kit test." He had them download his monitor for evidence. It recorded the last 90 days of his cycle. "No, I don't need an after-heat pill. It was an artificially induced heat. It wasn't likely that I..." He waved a hand. Also, he didn't much fancy spending the rest of the day hovering by the loo while he vomited and bled out what wasn't there. "Have you been able to follow up with any of the Omegas in the journal? If it would help to have me talk to any of them, I'd be glad to help." He was thanked. He was given no thanks. He was sent on his way. He went home to London. He was tired. He was sore. On the train ride home, he leaned back and laughed at the sign on the wall warning for sudden jerks and stops. There were bruises on his bruises. He felt incredibly satisfied. He slept all the way to London. He limped up the steps to his bedsit in an Omegas-only building. It wasn't much. It didn't even have its own bathroom. It was home. It also had an incredibly ugly statue of an owl sitting in the middle of his floor, which he certainly hadn't left there. He picked it up. He had a note tied to a string around its neck. It could be dangerous. The revolver was lying behind it. There was a small box of cartridges. John suppressed a smile. He put the owl on the dresser by his bed.
He hid the revolver at the bottom of the duffel he used to carry his laundry.